Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Gustav Mahler from Das Knabenwunderhorn, we heard Wer hat dies Liedlein erdacht, performed by our guest today, Norwegian trumpeter Tina Ting Helseth.
Hello.
Hello, is this Tina?
This is Tina. This is she, too.
I'm Jill.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And I am just thrilled with your albums. I'm sure you're getting tired of hearing people say that. But I heard the, two of them yesterday. One is called Storyteller. And mm-hmm. then the other one, you'd play some Iber and some...
It's called Tina, actually. Tina, my first name. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for saying that.
Well, I'm sure that you have gotten used to raves. I've never heard, and I'm not a trumpet aficionado, I have never heard a sound like the sound that you make on the trumpet. It's not like a French horn, but it's not like a brassy or sharp trumpet sound.
So, no, thank you. It's my voice somehow. My instrument is my voice.
Well,
so
you,
I just
you
try
say
to
that.
Think of it like that.
Yeah, but you have a sound that is so it's exquisite. I mean the albums. You've chosen some marvelous repertoire, all the beautiful things that are played by other musicians. But I just have never again heard the. There's a softness and there's a an intensity, but it's there's no sharp edge. I think that's what it is that I hear in your playing, and somehow one thinks about a trumpet as being more of an instrument that would cut through other instruments. So does it have anything to do? I know there's lots of talk by trumpeters about mouthpieces and things like that. Do you have anything special that you use?
Well, not really, actually. I'm very standard in my equipment. We have several different instruments, different trumpets tuned in different keys.
Of course.
So my B-flat trumpet I've had since I was 10 years old when my mom gave it to me. I still uses it. My C trumpet is now almost 10 years old. I have my one mouthpiece that I use all the time, that is now very old and should probably get a new one soon, but because it's almost worn out. But no, not really. I'm really not a good gadget freak at all, so I don't know all these things. I just play what works for me. Basically.
I'm sure you've heard that comment, though, before. I mean, before me. I'm sure people have said she's got a certain kind of a sound it's velvety, but it's a brass instrument. It's really, and of course the expression that you use, of course, you as a musician, are feeling the works very, very deeply. But I just was wondering, what is different about what you do, if at all, and have you been told that by other trumpet players? That you've talked
yeah,
with.
Well, I think, well, I, you know, it's always, of course, extremely nice to hear such wonderful things about my playing. And that's just really, humbling and great to hear that people enjoy what I'm doing. And I think one of the kind of, for me, one of the nicest compliments I've ever gotten about my playing was that this amazing musician that I really look up to came up to me and said, "I just completely forgot that you were a trumpet player."
Well, that's exactly, that's saying it perfectly. And not to cast any aspersions on trumpet players, but it's there's a mellowness. It's more, you know, I don't want to say French horn either, but there's something about it that is not, you just don't expect that sound. And of course, with your expression and the beautiful repertoire that you've chosen, you just can't go wrong. One of the more glorious works from the pen of Eric Korngold, Marietta's Lied, performed here by our guest today, Tina Ting-Helseth, with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, conducted by Ivan Adland. You have two albums here. I don't know if which was the first one that was released.
Well, yeah, of my former EMI, now Warner Classics album, where the first one of those were Storyteller, and then Tina, which is the second one. Before that, I'd released a couple of CDs on a Norwegian label as well, but this was kind of the first kind of big international releases that I did, all over the world, kind of worldwide releases. I'm just overwhelmed by what people think of the albums, and also because it feels personal for me, the repertoire that I've chosen for both these albums, especially the first one, Storyteller. It's only transcriptions, arrangements, music written for the voice instead of the trumpet.
Oh, yes,
kind of the idea behind it. And then, of course, people, you know, when I play songs, you lose the words. Suddenly it's only instrumental, and people might have opinions about that if they think that works or whatever. But mostly the feedback has been just overwhelmingly positive, and I'm so happy that...
Oh.
Because I fell in love with that type of music, and I enjoy playing it. And then, of course, it's just amazing when people then listening to it also fall in love. These pieces, and that's great.
The Korngold, I mean, the Marietta's Lied, which is a glorious
song.
Thing anyway.
Yeah,
absolutely. Just I couldn't believe it listening it. To it on the trumpet. That's what I have to say, and I'm sure you've heard this before.
Yeah, it's just this most amazing song. I mean, recording
gorgeous.
It was magical.
Gorgeous.
Standing there in the middle of the orchestra, it was my out of my body experience kind of thing. So yeah.
Also, the Rachmaninoff piece on there is very gorgeous.
Oh, it's great.
Too. Just beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that I think I'm just repeating what you've heard before in terms of not having a prejudice about a trumpet, because it's a marvelous instrument and there are so many marvelous players. But this is a different experience, and I'm looking forward to bringing it to our audience.
Thank you.
from the pen of Sergei Rachmaninoff, How Fair This Spot, Zdesh Koroshov, Rachmaninoff describing the countryside on his honeymoon, here performed by our guest today, trumpeter Tina Ting-Helseth, with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, Ivan Adlin conducting. Tell us about your background a little bit, Tina, you know, where you studied and so on, and how you said you were how old when you started with the trumpet?
Well, I started when I was 6 years old, actually, the year I turned seven, so I was quite young. And my mom actually plays the trumpet as a hobby, not professionally, but still there was music in my household at home. Not classical, actually, or a little bit of classical, but more like everything, like jazz and pop and rock. And mm-hmm. It was a very, very versatile music kind of, you know, on the radio or in our CD player back home. So I grew up playing lots of different types of music, and I just had this feeling from a very young age that this is what I want to do. I want to play the trumpet when I grow up. I can't remember ever wanting to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange, but it kind of just feels like everything has just kind of happened. Of course, it's a lot of hard work, and I didn't know when I was 10 years old and said, I want to be a trumpet soloist, how much hard work it is. You know, you're lucky, you're happily naive at that age, just thinking
sure,
that, you know, it's just playing and then I'll do my thing. And then it feels like things have just been rolling. I've been lucky to meet nice people and have good people around me. And I've gotten a lot of possibilities and now I get to live my dream, basically travel around the world and be able to play
to concertize,
with them.
And to
just get inspired by all these amazing other musicians that I get to work with.
Where did you go to conservatory at all?
In Oslo, at a private school there called Barratu Institute of Music, where I did my bachelor degree and then my master's at the academy there. But everything has been, I mean, I started traveling when I was 18. So, and now I'm 26. So it's been actually quite some years now. But so I was very young when I started traveling. So the whole study has been a bit, how do you say, they've been very flexible and very, they've been great like that. I've been having a very flexible schedule in my studies.
Did you have a particular maestro that you were aspired to study with or anything like that? Because a lot of times, you know, instrumentalists feel, oh, I want to study with so-and-so because I, you know, how did you feel
yeah,
about
no,
that?
Yeah, no, I hear, a lot of people has that. I was very fortunate to have a very good teacher from the beginning, actually, when I started when I was six. My mom had a good friend called Heidi Johansen, and she plays in the opera orchestra in Oslo. Mm-hmm. She was very good with kids, so I started with her and studied with her for 7 years, and then she kind of just passed me on to her old professor, Arnulf Naur Nilsen is his name, very Norwegian name, and he plays in the Oslo Philharmonic. And then that's the teacher I've kind of had ever since. And even though he's not my professor anymore, he will kind of always be because he's, if I want to play for someone, he's the one I play for. And except from that, I'm just, every time I work with a musician, if it's an, you know, a conductor or an orchestra or other musicians I play with, play chamber music with, I always learn new stuff and get inspired and all of that. So it's a never-ending journey, basically.
Perpetuum Mobile, music by Edvard Hagerup-Bull, performed by our guest today, Tina Ting-Helseth, trumpet, and Catherine Staudt at the piano. Well, do you have certain things that one does with the Haydn? Is that a standard repertoire that you start playing with? And then you move on from there. But if you were going to conservatory, you would obviously get certain repertoire that was mandatory, I guess, that you had to learn.
Yeah, of course there are. You know, the teacher picks out a couple of things, and then you do your scales and your technical studies and things to just really learn your instrument in the best possible way so that you can. I mean, the instrument is basically just a tool, for any instrumentalist. This is just what we use so that we get across what we want to get across musically. So I think the most important thing is then just to learn this handcraft of the instrument as good as possible so that you don't have any obstacles, things you then can't do. I mean, my goal is just to be able to
express play everything,
whatever I want to express in sound, colors and phrasing and you know, difficult things shouldn't sound difficult. They should sound like the easiest thing in the world, even though they are extremely difficult. So you can just focus on what's important, which is getting
playing
the music,
across. Yes, and getting it across. Here now, a beloved and familiar set of Spanish popular songs by Manuel de Falla. Tina Ting Helseth, trumpet, with Catherine Stott at the piano. We just heard Siete Canciones Populares Españoles, six popular Spanish songs by Manuel de Falla, performed by our guest today, trumpeter Tina Ting Helseth and Catherine Stott, pianist. So did you play with orchestras? Do you now play with orchestras in any capacity, or are you really a soloist?
Actually, I'm fortunate enough just to do the solo thing. I mean, I played in school bands and stuff when I was young, so that's kind of what I started with. So I've played a lot of ensemble stuff and that kind of thing. But I've only done solo or chamber music stuff. I've never been in an orchestral section.
Yeah. What about jazz?
Yeah, well, I do a lot of different types of music. I have a couple of ensembles as well that I'm the leader of. I have one band. I call it my rock band, kind of. and it's called Tina Ting Helseth Quintet, and it's like guitar, double bass, piano, and drums, and myself. And we have one kind of vision, or our only vision is just to play music we like, whatever it is. So it can be. In a program, you can hear Bach, you can hear Brubeck, you can hear Piazzolla, you can hear Kutch Vile, Beach Boys, Joni Mitchell, some Irish Balkan-inspired dance music, modern rock. I mean, whatever we like, we just play it, kind of. And
that's amazing. That you can do it.
I love that. I mean, I really focus, because a lot of people ask, do you have to change anything when you play that kind of music? And I just really try to focus that I have my voice, and that's my voice no matter what I play. I will never sound like Miles Davis or anything because I'm not him. So I will always sound like me. So as long as I enjoy the music and think I do it fairly well, then I will do it, kind of.
Well, it's a wonderful attitude to have, and you're doing it is really quite marvelous. What is your schedule now? You have two albums out. Are you going to be recording more? Will you be concertizing? Will you be traveling around the world?
Yeah, well, I have my kind of normal touring schedule. So right now I'm in the States. Then I do touring around the world in Europe. I think last we checked with my management, I'm on the road, you know, at least 250 days a year playing concerts. So it's basically what I do. And then there is a new recording on the horizon, as they say.
Yes.
So it's a... that's going to be recorded, I think, this year. That's the plan. And then that will come out at some point as well. But that's really all the...
Now, I'm not going to ask you what it is. It's a big secret, I'm sure. But I think you've surprised people with both of the two that I have. I mean, I certainly didn't expect this kind of repertoire. I guess it's the repertoire that's really got to me. And then when you play it, it doesn't... Oh, you heard this. They've said it all to you before, but it's a sound that is, it's warm, it's round, but it's a trumpet, but you just don't expect it. It's very much a vocal sound. I think that's what I want to say. When you play Marietta's lead, you're singing it with the trumpet. That's what I feel. Music of José María Cano, an epilogue, Noche de Luna, performed here by our guest today, Tina Ting-Helseth, with cellist Jonathan Osgard and the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic conducted by Ivan Adland. That was from Tina's album Storyteller, and now we hear a miniature Viennese march by Fritz Kreisler and a Toy Soldier's March from her other album, Tina. Music of Fritz Kreisler, we heard the March Miniature Viennoise and the Toy Soldier's March performed by trumpet soloist Tina Ting-Helseth and pianist Catherine Stott. I get many, 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 recordings in, great people that have a tremendous amount of talent. Oh, another one. And I said, trumpet, what are you doing with trumpet? And I sat down and I put the Storyteller one on, and I just said, what is she playing? I mean, the instrument was a trumpet, yes, but the whole, everything that went with it was not what one associates with a trumpet. And I don't mean to belittle anybody else's playing, but it's just a new experience. And I think that when people talk to you about what you're doing, that's what they're saying, because it's a surprise.
And, yeah, well, I'm just happy to show off new sides of the. I mean, a lot of people associate trumpet with fanfares and loud and I can, we know we have that too. I can do that too, but I think the instrument is so much more. And I really want to kind of, I think more and more about this thing that this is just my tool, and it's actually me playing. That's what I also focus on when I do masterclasses and stuff like that, and teach, and just telling them that, telling the students that this is, you know, this is just, it's you. It's not this metal thing you have in front of you that makes the music. It's you. It's you're the one who's deciding, not your instrument. So I'm just really want to focus on that. And then, of course, for some people, trumpet might also be a bit of a rare classical solo instrument, maybe.
Going to ask you about that.
Yeah, and yes, it's not that often programmed with orchestras and stuff like that. But I think that we can, you know, it should be up there with the other instruments. And I'm just really grateful that I'm able to do this as my job, to travel and play with orchestras and do that.
And we're delighted to be able to share that experience with you. So once again, Tina, you will be touring. Will you be coming to the States at all?
Yes, well, I'm here right now. Then I come back to in two times in May. I come to San Antonio in the beginning of May. I will come to Philadelphia at the International Trumpet Guild Conference.
Wonderful. When is that?
Well, that's the
May
Trumpet
21st?
Madness. Yeah. I mean it in the best possible way.
This is the one May 21st, I think, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. It's a whole conference, a lot of dates with only trumpet music. I'm coming there to do a couple of concerts, and I'm very excited. It's my first time in this, as I say, in the best possible way, Trumpet Madness, I call it. Only trumpet players coming, and I'm sure it's going to be a great experience. Then I go on to Fort Worth to play in Texas, to play with the orchestra there. So, yeah, no, it's quite a good year for my U.S. dates. I was here earlier this year as well, so it's nice. Yeah.
Now the conference, though, where will that be? You said you're coming to Philadelphia, but will that be here or will it be in various places?
I must be honest with you, it's so many things coming up that I don't remember exactly the place, but I do know it's in Philadelphia. That's kind of all I know for now, because I've seen that in my flight schedule, that's where my plane lands. So that's all
well,
I know.
Then you cannot say no to coming over and visiting us at the station. We hope that
to see you then.
A joy. And any other ideas for the latest, after these releases, anything else that you want to do or you want to conquer, I guess is a better word.
Oh, I have a lot of things. I have a lot of things I want to do, but I'm always starting kind of new things. I have just started my new festival, chamber music festival in Oslo, where, you know, my home. And I have a lot of ideas for CDs and touring and repertoire and things I want to do. But I'm hoping that this, I will be able to play the trumpet for the rest of my life. So hopefully I have a lot of time to maybe get to do these things and get new ideas and meet new wonderful musicians to work with. So
well, we'll be following you around. It's very exciting to hear your newest albums anyway.
Well, thank
and the
you
best
so
of
much.
Luck to you, Tina.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.